I'd like us to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 for our meditation. Ephesians chapter 1. The purpose, of course, is to have just a brief time of thoughts and remembrance of what this supper means to us as Christians. Ephesians chapter 1, there's one verse that I'm going to concentrate on for a brief time of meditation. It's verse 7 of chapter 1. Where the scriptures record to us these words, "In him," referring to Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Notice those words, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. Can there be a more valuable word, a more precious word, a more beneficial word, a more important word, a more respected word, a more priceless word, a word of greater worth than the word forgiveness? To us who know the reality of the awfulness of our sin. It is this word forgiveness that shines brighter than the sun to our guilty souls in declaring our pardon. It brings to us that gleam of confidence and peace as we experience the midnights of despair. Can it be possible that our sin, such sin as mine, such sin as yours, can be forgiven? Can be forgiven altogether? Can be forgiven forever? The judgment of hell belongs to us as sinners, and there's no possibility of our escaping from it while sin's judgment remains upon us. Can this condition of our guilt be lifted from us? Or as Isaiah said, can the crimson tide stain, can that crimson stain be removed and we become as white as snow? Well, the Bible says, and the text that we are reading says to us that we can be delivered from the awful judgment and prison deserved by us because of our sin. God's word tells us that we may yet be clear from the judgment penalty of sin. God's word tells us that we will be forever blessed in its revelation of atoning love that is demonstrated in our text, which not only tells us that pardon is possible, but that it is sure, it is secured for all who rest in the Lord Jesus. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we believe and rest in the appointed wrath taken on our behalf by our Lord Jesus being crucified. And that is a reason for us to have joy. What a blessing. What a blessing. And that word almost seems to be too weak because we use it so often. But yet what a blessing to be a perfectly pardoned soul. And because of that, our sins at this moment and forever are forgiven by his substitutionary pains and death on our behalf. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace, free forgiveness is now declared for us. To forgive at all, to forgive fully, to forgive freely, to forgive forever. This is a wonder of wonders. This is a wonder of wonders when we think of how great our sins are and to think of the value of that precious blood that cleanses us from our sin. This is a wonder of wonders. This is a wonder of wonders to see how gracious was the method, the riches of his grace. It is a free forgiveness, a free pardon that is given to us in Christ. We must be in a maze, wondering, worshiping love because of that position we have with our forgiveness. how we should bow before the throne that has now absolved us of our sin as we cling to the cross of our Savior who has delivered us. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Secondly, I want to say something that I want to gain from the remembrance of our Savior's death. And I think it should be important for all of us as we think upon our Savior's death. In this text, in this truth that is given to us, we have demonstrated the love of Christ. And the apostle says concerning the love of Christ, he says, the love of Christ compels us. Let us love Him because He first loved us. Let us show our love. Let us show our faith by our works. Do we now, in the light of this passage, in this truth, do we now give ourselves to Him who in grace, by His own unpurchased love, has become our certainty and worked out for us redemption through His blood? Do we now seek to serve Him, He who is the incarnate God, through whom this very afternoon we have the knowledge of our souls being pardoned from our sin? In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to His grace. That is a most precious truth. And truth must enter into our soul. It must penetrate and saturate it, or else it's of no value to us. Doctrines that are held as a mere matter of creed are like bread held in the hand, which does not furnish nourishment to the body. But doctrine accepted in the heart, as we read earlier this morning, is as food that is digested, which is assimilated and sustains and builds up the body. So in us, truth must be a living force, an active energy, an indwelling reality, as part of what the old writers used to call the woof and warp of our being, the very essential part of our being. The truth must be there. If it is truly within us, we cannot part from it. A man may lose his arm or his leg, but his inward parts are vital, and they cannot be lost without absolute loss of life. It is the rule of nature that the inward affects the outward, as light shines from the center of the light bulb through the glass. When, therefore, the truth is within, it soon shines out in the outward life and conduct of our life. A man's inward nature lives, giving a tinge to every word and deed that proceeds from him. To walk in the truth imports a life of integrity, holiness, faithfulness, and is to be seen plainly and simply in our ordinary living. It is the natural product of those principal truths which the gospel teaches to us. And we may judge the secret of our souls by truth that is received, manifested in our conduct. May our time in sober contemplation, meditation, remembrance of our Savior's death today be used by the Holy Spirit to rule and govern by His divine authority in our lives, so that nothing false or sinful would remain in our hearts, lest it produce its malignant influence in our daily walk with our fellow man. We need to see that this message, what is revealed to us in the remembrance of Christ, has its effect. Not only now, we are soberly contemplating it, but in the days that are before us, because we remember Him who died for us. Let the love of Christ compel us, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Let us show our love, our faith by our works. Let us love Him because He first loved us. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.